The book of Psalms, please, chapter 9. The book of Psalms, chapter number 9. And as we're turning there, want you to be much in prayer for the weekend. I plan on preaching from Romans chapter 13, a message entitled, "The Day is at Hand." And I'll be speaking on the nearness of the coming of Christ. Here's how close it is. I might not be here Sunday. Amen. I mean, not because I double booked. I might not be here Sunday. The rapture may happen. Amen. The rapture of the church, the catching up. And I've heard it. The word rapture is not in the Bible. Neither is the word Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. But how many of you have a Bible? You're so glad for it. But the rapture, the catching up of the bride of Christ. And some are denying the pre-tribulation rapture. Some would say it happens in the middle or the end of the tribulation period or doesn't exist at all. And I'm going to preach about that and how close we are Sunday morning to the rapture of the church. Sunday night I'm praying about some things. I may speak to you about Ezekiel and the Northern War. We'll see how that goes and how the Lord directs. But I want you to be in church. Bring somebody with you Sunday morning. Will be a great message for people to get saved, for people to come to Christ. How many of you, before you got saved, heard about the second coming and it bothered you? Anybody who was like that? It bothered me. I came home one day. My mom was nowhere to be seen. The fire was on the pot in the living room, or in the kitchen, rather. And I called out, couldn't find her anywhere. And I truly thought the rapture had happened. And I'd missed it altogether. And when she came around the corner, I was so happy to see her. I hugged her. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Nothing. I can't talk to you about it." I didn't want to tell her because then she would have started preaching. Amen? So, wanted to get me saved. She bought a box of those Oliver Green tracts written by Mrs. Green. What does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? A long tract. And she would put those in my pants pocket, put them in my lunch box, put them in my dresser, put them all over the house. And then my brother-in-law's car broke down, my car broke down, and my brother-in-law had to pick me up every day for work. And he had just gotten saved. And I'd get in his little Chevy Nova every day, get in the car, and he'd turn it on the radio at 7 o'clock, the gospel hour with Dr. Oliver B. Green. I had to listen to him every single day for weeks. I got under a severe case of conviction, a case of the can't help it, and I got saved by the grace of God as a result of hearing Oliver Green. You know what Oliver Green preached about? Hell, the judgment, the coming of Christ. Salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. And I got saved as a result of that good, solid gospel preaching. Bring your friends. How many of you have a friend? All right. Well, then bring an enemy. Maybe they'll become a friend. Bring somebody with you on Sunday. Let's have a good day. And Pastor, I want to say once again, I count it such a high privilege to come here to preach here at Church of the Open Door and be a part of this place. We are thankful for the goodness of God. Psalm chapter 9. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 9. And I would like to begin reading in verse number 14, or Psalm chapter 9, yes, verse number 14. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb, and that's the book of Hosea. I knew something was wrong. God bless you. Have a good night. And I'm late for my visit to memory care, all right? Psalm chapter 9. I was looking, what is that? Was that you, Pastor? Psalm chapter 9. I've been hanging around Pastor Norris a little bit. Iron sharpeneth iron. So, Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. Verse 14. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that, what? Amen. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
Amen.
I'm going to speak for a moment, and I want to preach from a message that you probably will not hear on the Joel Osteen radio channel this week. You'll probably not hear this on the most beloved charismatic preachers and the prosperity gospel people on television. But I want to speak for a few moments tonight on the subject of what happens when a nation forgets God. When a nation forgets God. I believe what we see happening in America tonight and much of the free world, I believe that what we see as this, the insanity of transgenderism and all the other things that are invading our society and just in large numbers, as we see these things come to pass, as we watch the apostasy that is kicking in, that I believe is the final apostasy that God said would be called the falling away first.
Right.
And then that man of sin would be revealed. I believe that as we see sin running rampant, men and women running unchecked, rebellion becoming commonplace, I believe the greatest problem is that our nation has forgotten God. Yes. When a nation forgets God, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Father, help us tonight, we pray. Help me to be clear. May the word of God dwell among us and dwell richly in every life. Thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. All of God's people said together,
amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. Our text is a great chapter and a well-known verse of Scripture where the writer David really begins with a psalm of praise. He begins with even the heading that would be to the chief musician upon Muthlaban, a psalm of David. He was saying that he was going to write to God and write to the chief musician. And he would say these words in verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. He is writing about praising God. He is writing about giving God glory and giving God honor. He is writing about the fact that his heart and his desire is to lift up this name of the Lord God, who is his Savior and his helper in all things. But as he goes on in this psalm, he begins to take a shift, and he begins to take a turn, if you will, where literally he begins dealing with the fact what happens when people turn their backs upon God. Verse 12 is somewhat of a transitional verse of Scripture. He said, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate thee. He deals in verse 15 with the heathen. He said the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. What an amazing thing that for several years of my life, the last 11 years and another time before that, I did what Pastor Belcher does and just about every other good pastor does. I spend much of my life untangling the mess that people make for themselves. They come into the pastor, oh, we've done this and this, and they start telling you all the bad decisions they have made, and they say, what should I do? And truthfully, there are times where I say, well, I would go home and I would get a big pot of spaghetti that's been cooked well and been sitting for a little bit and just try to untangle it. It'd be a whole lot easier. Say amen to that. That's the mess that people make. And they dig this hole and they end up in it. And the heathen have done exactly that in this chapter of the Bible. He said, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. You will not see that much, and you won't hear much about that anymore on the radio, on the television. You may get that on an obscure AM channel, right, driving through the mountains, or through one of the fundamental channels that does come through satellite. But otherwise, most is going to be health, wealth, prosperity, and how we're all going to be just fine. He said that judgment is going to be executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. Higgion Selah. And then he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I want to quickly go over a few things that happen in a nation's life. There's first of all this matter of forgetting. And he deals with forgetting right here. He said, all the nations that forget God, in reverse, he said, they're going to be turned into hell. They're going in the wrong direction. We think about this matter. God has many warnings in the Bible about forgetting. He reminds us over and over again that we are to remember the Lord our God. It's Psalm 103, verse 1. Most of us know that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we understand tonight there's this matter of forgetting. We must not forget about his grace. How many of you tonight have been saved by the grace of God? That's the only way you can get into heaven. You cannot get by your own works. You cannot get to heaven by good deeds, only by grace. And the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? Help me. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we should never forget about his grace and his goodness. He said in verse number 7, the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his front throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. How many would believe this tonight? That God has been not only given us grace, but God has been good to us. That God has magnified himself in our lives. In fact, Psalm 103, going back there again, he said to forget not all his benefits. I mean, we didn't just get saved. He's given us all these good things on top of that. And God has been good. So forgetting, it's easy to forget about his grace, to forget his benefits, and even above all else, not to forget about the glory of God in our lives, to give him the glory that's due unto his name. Now, understand, the Bible makes it very clear from the people of Israel, and even translating over and shifting over to the church as well, that God wants us to remember him at all times. In fact, many times the Bible reminds us that we must must remember the Lord our God. We might not know what book we're reading, but I'm going to tell you this. He wants us to remember him. Say amen. And he said for us as God's people to glorify him in all things. Now, even the Jewish feasts and all the way back, of course, the Israel has just celebrated Passover here in America. They've celebrated Passover as well. That was the wonderful reminder of how God had caused them to flee from Egypt and that the death angel passed over them. When God saw the blood, when the angel saw the blood on their doorposts, he passed over them. And you and I that are saved, the moment God saved you and he washed you in his precious blood, when he sees the blood, he passes over us and will never die. We'll spend eternity in heaven with Christ. If you believe that, say amen. So we're to remember him at all times. 144 times in your Old Testament, you will find the admonition to remember God, to remember the Lord our God. In 1 Chronicles 16:12, God said, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will what? Remember the name of the Lord our God. I happen to be a big fan of the U.S. military. I thank God for every soldier that's gone into combat. I thank God for our veterans. I love our soldiers. Amen. Thank God for every one of them. But understand this, it's not guns, it's not missiles, it's not tanks, it's not mortars, it's not airplanes that's keeping us protected. It is the good hand of God, and we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. God is the one who has kept us. Amen. And kept his hedge of protection around this great nation called America. Now, Israel repeatedly, over and over, their story is a story of God blessing and them forgetting. God moving and helping and strengthening and delivering, and then them turning their backs on God again and again and again. It's almost uncanny. You can follow the pattern from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and you'll see God doing great things for people and them forgetting him and turning back to the sin that they started with and the things that they were involved in. And so over and over again, we see that account. Now, Israel in particular, they forgot the Lord, especially in prosperity. Whenever God blessed them and gave them great help and prospered them, they turned back to idolatry one more time. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, God said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Stop right there. How many of you have any wealth? Could I see your hand? Any wealth? You say, I'm not wealthy. No, I mean, you have any money. How many have any money? Ushers, no, I'm just kidding. I mean, you have any money whatsoever. And so if you have any money in your pocket, any in your checkbook, you say, I don't have enough. That's not what I asked you. If you have any money, do you understand? If you have anything in this world, it is God who gave you that power to get wealth. It's God's goodness and God's grace. And he reminded them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. That's why I said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So God made it very clear that when they forgot him and turned away from him and forgot the great source of blessing in their life, he would eventually turn his back upon them as well. Now in prosperity, they would forget the Lord. Through pride. Thinking that they were above reproach and beyond judgment and literally infallible and invincible. Through pride, God himself literally would judge their life. Why? Because they would forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 continues with this thought, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the power of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. I've had people tell me, well, brother, I pulled myself up from my bootstraps. Everything I have, I worked for. Everything I have, I worked with these two hands and I accumulated it myself. I'm glad you did. I have a question. Who put air in your lungs? Who's the one that allows your heart to beat? You say, well, I'm strong, brother. God bless you. Who gave you strength? It is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And God made that indictment against the people of Edom. He said, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rocks, and saith within thy heart, who shall bring me down? In other words, they felt like they were the invincible nation. And so pride causes us to forget God. In Psalm 10, verse 4, the Bible said the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You say, well, I have a hard time with devotions. I have a hard time praying. I have a hard time just even trying to hang on to God and read my Bible. Let me ask you this question. If you had to have an oxygen mask just to make it, if you had to take in oxygen just to breathe and you would die without it, you think you would hang on to that oxygen mask? It might be inconvenient. It might not be something you want. Yes, it's a hardship, but understand that was your lifeline. The devotional life that God wants you to maintain is the only way you and I are going to make it in this world. We must spend time with God. We must read our Bibles. Please say amen. We must have a prayer life. We must spend time with Him. But pride says, well, I can get along and I'll get at it tomorrow or the next day or the next. And a little bit at a time, we may not understand it, but we forget God. And through pride and through prosperity and through these things that plague our life, we eventually begin to forget the Lord. Now, when you forget the Lord, there's forgetting. That's not the end of the matter. We don't live a life in neutral. We don't live a life just sort of coasting until we get back on track again. When you start coasting in God, you don't just sit neutral. You start coasting backwards. You start moving away from Him. You see, forgetting God leads to forsaking God. Most people in this room would never say, I'm going to forsake God. I'm going to turn away and just forsake God altogether. Most people don't make that conscious choice. Instead, by small and varying degrees, they just start moving farther and further and further away from God till eventually they are forsaking the Lord God of their fathers. When you forget Him, you're going to forsake Him. Judges chapter 2, verse 12 said, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger. So when you begin to forget the Lord, you will forsake Him. Of course, the Bible said in chapter 10 of the book of Judges, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. They forsook the Lord. I have watched people through the years that I saw in church just like you. And a little bit at a time, excuses came along. Well, we can't be there Sunday, can't be there Sunday night. I've had people actually call me. I know Pastor Belcher has had this phone call. Pastor, we'll be there Sunday mornings, but from now on, we can't be there Sunday night. One man called, said, we need to have family time, so we're going to stay home and have family time. I said, brother, why don't you have family time at church? Amen? Stop at McDonald's on the way. Get a Happy Meal. Enjoy yourself. Go to some other place and buy an ice cream, but be in the house of God. Well, we're fine. Our family is so important. You know, that family in particular that I'm thinking of is no longer in church tonight. I don't know where they are. They have forsaken the Lord at a little bit at a time. They forgot Him, and then they began to forsake Him. Now, that's not the end of the matter. When you forsake God, you will start following other things. You'll start following other voices. You'll start following apostasy. You'll start following deceivers. You will start following false teachers. Why? Because you're not around the truth. And we must saturate our life with the truth of God. I'll speak on that Sunday more. We must saturate our lives with the Word of God. And why? Because we're living in a generation of widespread deception. You must be around the truth. You must live around the truth of God and stay close to Christ, or you'll start following somewhere off. Now, may I say to you tonight, every one of us is following something and somebody. Amen. I've had people say, well, I don't follow anybody. A young man came in my office years ago. He had this spike hairdo and a big old trench coat on. He said, I'm just my own guy, man. I don't like all this Jesus stuff. I said, where'd you ever come up with that haircut? He said, well, I thought of it. I said, no, you didn't. You saw it in a magazine or at a rock concert or one of these punk rock shows. You didn't think of that. He said, well, yeah, there was a group I liked. So you're following them. Every one of us are following something. How many of you know this? There is no new thing under the sun. And we had blue jeans back when I grew up. And we called them, how many of you live when we called them dungarees? And I mean, that's way back. And we get our dungarees and they'd start getting worn out. And they were getting really cool when you'd start getting some holes in them. And so we keep wearing them. My mom would say, you're wearing those jeans with those holes in them. She had those awful iron-on patches that she'd put the iron-ons. And the problem is, the first time through the washer, the ends would curl up. Looked like you had blue Fritos glued on your jeans. And they were awful. So, but man, it was cool to have some holes in your jeans. Guess what? Now they're buying jeans with built-in holes. I mean, they're showing up. Look at my nice new designer jeans. They've got holes in them. Moth's got a hole in this. No, they have holes built in already. And so there's no new thing under the sun. Amen? Flat tops came and went. They came back into style again. Remember getting my hair cut as a kid. I had my little flat top, had my little tube of butch wax and just do it just right and everything just so. It was perfect, man. If you could set stuff on top of it and just stay there and it wouldn't fall off. But that's not new. That comes and it goes, or trends, and people follow. God said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. In other words, when a crowd is doing the wrong thing, you don't say, well, everybody else is doing it. You say, no, by the grace of God, I'm taking a stand and we're following Jesus Christ. You're all following something. When you forget him, you're going to forsake him. When the world forsakes him, when a nation forsakes God, they will follow after other things. America is no longer America as we knew it. It's not the same world. Do I have an amen? Amen. We could walk to school without fear of abduction. We lived in such a way that was frugal. We would come home. My parents would have dinner every night. That was novel. They'd have it on the table. We knew our neighbors. There was a set time for dinner. That was at 6 o'clock. If you missed 6 o'clock and you weren't there, you just didn't eat anything, maybe a leftover or two. We had 8 kids, so there was never leftovers. Amen. And our dog didn't eat fancy dog food. There was no Little Caesar and kibbles and bits and all that. Whatever's left over, scraped it in a bowl and sport ate whatever was there. He never asked. He never looked up one time and said, I don't like lasagna. He ate whatever was coming. And so it was a different world. And now we have followed the pattern of Europe, the pattern of apostates. We have followed the pattern of the UK. Do you know that America is always like the UK, about 10 or 15 years behind? And look what's going on in the UK. They literally have neighborhoods that are under Sharia law. They have neighborhoods and communities that have Sharia police. The police are not even allowed to go in. They're under Islamic law. And that's happening in cities in America, up in Michigan and other places as well. So understand, we're not far off. We are following the very same things that the world is following. Now, when you follow, God said, and when King Ahab was confronted with his sin, Elijah came to him and preached to him in 1 Kings 18. And he said, "Oh, thou that troublest Israel." He's there, he is. And he said, "You're the man that's caused all this trouble." They were living under drought. They were living under oppression because of their sin. And Elijah said this, and you know the account. Elijah preached to him and told him that there was a sin in his life. He was married to Jezebel. How many ever heard of Jezebel? You don't see many, I've never been to a church, and they came by with a stroller, and I said, "Oh, little girl, how cute. Oh, beautiful little pink bundle there. What's her name?" And the mom very happily will say, "Her name's Rebecca or Samantha," or new names, Aspen or Willow, whatever their little name is, and they'll tell me their names. I said, "Oh, what a cute little name. What a cute little girl." I've never had one woman say to me, "Oh, her name's Jezebel." I've never heard, not too many Hillarys anymore either, say amen to that. But never. But he confronts them, and Elijah says, here was his answer. He said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that thou, and that ye have forsaken the commands of the Lord," listen, "and thou hast followed Balaam." They forgot him. They forsook him. And now they're following after this Syrophoenician idol that was trending all over Samaria. And guess who brought Baal in? It was Jezebel who brought in. Her very name means a queen of Baal. And she brings in this Syrophoenician idol that was taking the world by storm. And he got in on the trend, and they started Baal worship in the northern kingdom, and especially in Samaria. So there they are. They are following the wrong thing. God said in Jeremiah 1:16, "And I will utter judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands." By the time Jeremiah was preaching, they had an awful place. It was called the Valley of Hinnom. And down in the Valley of Hinnom, they would take little babies. Then they would take little babies and offer them up to the false gods of Ashtaroth and of Molech. Molech was the fire god. His little image had outstretched hands. They would lay babies there and they would put them and burn them in the fire. Why? Because they forsook God. They forgot God and began following Ashtaroth. A side note, it was called also the Valley of Taberah. The word Taberah means beating drums. When the babies would begin to cry, when they would offer them up, they would beat drums to drown out that awful sound of babies screaming being offered up in sacrifice to Molech. Listen carefully. Do you understand the music and the sight and sound and all that we have going on in America, and the loud beat everywhere we go is drowning out the sin of this generation and keeping us from hearing God. Say amen. And that is exactly what happened then. And now we are murdering babies to the tune of more than 60 million babies since Roe v. Wade. And you hear them now with this upcoming election talking about, "We want women's rights, women's reproductive rights." Let me say something. You have no right to murder a baby ever at any time. No generation does. Say amen. But understand, they were following. They were following the baby-killing generation of the day in America, because we have forgotten God. We are following the same pattern of sin and demonic behavior in a generation that has forsaken God and turned away. 2 Peter 2 said in verse 15, "Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Now, when you forget, and when a nation forgets, you will start forsaking. When a nation forsakes him, a nation will follow the wrong things. And when a nation follows the wrong things, a nation will fail. Or fall. That's a pretty good point. He said in Psalm 9:17, The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations to forget God. I remember, Pastor remembers well. I remember well. I remember as a teenage, young teenage kid, Parkville High School, when they took prayer out of the public schools. They no longer wanted us to pray. They took the Bible off the teacher's desk. And I was in Parkville High School when this happened. We thought it was great. We were kids. I said, all good. No more of that praying going on around here. But I'm saying to you, since that time, the divorce rate of America, it was a line. I have the graph at home. It used to be about like this, going upward. But since then, back when we took prayer out of school, the divorce rate in America exploded and went straight up and has never gone down. The crime rate exploded. The instance of drug usage and abuse exploded. The instance of apostasy and false teaching and cults exploded. The things that we see in our society are all the result of saying we no longer have time for God in our minds, in our hearts, and in our schools. And our nation is failing. We know the verse. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I have about five more minutes. Do you have that time?
Yeah.
Good. I'll finish. But America has forgotten. We've forgotten our fathers. Our fathers are being taken out of the short history that's being taught now in our public schools. I'm glad for Carroll Christian School. A Christian school is difficult to maintain. Amen? It's a hard thing to keep going. Being a Christian school teacher, you're not getting paid as much. You know, your benefits are not as great. You're not in it for the money, but you certainly want to pay your bills. Amen? But understand, do you understand that tonight, Christian school is a difficult thing. Homeschooling is a difficult task. But understand, your children will never know what America ever was if they go to a public school. They're going to have a short history with all the CRT training and all that goes with it. Understand tonight, we have forgotten our fathers. We have forgotten our foundations. We have laid them aside. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we have forgotten our faith. We have forgotten him. America has forsaken him. A few years ago, at the Glen Burnie Public Library, right up the street from our church, right next to a Lutheran church, by the way, they posted up 1 o'clock every Tuesday would be drag queen story hour. And they would bring in a drag queen for several hours, bring your children over so this drag queen can read to them. I don't want a drag queen reading my children anything. Do I have an amen? And yet, that is what has happened all across America. We are now woke, genderism, GLBTQ, CBDC. I mean, they have so many, they're running out of letters of the alphabet. The socialist movement is exploding across our land. We have 10,000. More than 10,000 now, this is an old statistic, more than 10,000 illegal aliens, and that's what they are. I don't know how we ever changed the name to migrants. Amen? Illegal immigrants are coming into our country by the tune of over 10,000 every single day. And I know we need to evangelize them. We need to get them saved. We need to reach them with the gospel. Wait a minute. They're coming in. They are not coming in and embracing our country. They're not embracing our Constitution. They're coming in, many of them, with ill intent for America. Why? Because America has forgotten God. We have Supreme Court nominees and now justices who cannot properly define the word female. Wait, are you kidding me? They're making rules. They're making judgment. They are reading our Constitution and trying to interpret it, but they cannot even properly define the word female. We got little kids sitting with their mom and dad, 5 and 6 years of age. They know what a female is, and they know what a male is. Say amen. But no, we've changed and confused everything. Well, the question is tonight, is there hope? Last summer, during the abomination of Pride Month, as they call it, people were coming online, coming on television, looking into the camera and say, we are coming for your children and you can't do anything about it. I'm glad I couldn't answer, because they wouldn't have liked my answer. Don't come to my house.
Amen.
Amen. Do not come to my house. We're coming for your children and you can't do a thing about it. Well, I've got news for them. We can do something about it. You say, what is that? God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray,
amen,
and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe God wants his people. He wants churches like this one. He wants us to remember. Remember what? Remember from whence thou art fallen. That's what he said to the church at Ephesus that had lost their first love, that had come, gotten more in love with the world and the things around them, and laid God aside. Maybe a little bit of, you know, they would have a little bit of Brill Cream religion, you know, every day, a little dabble do, and just do a little bit here and there. But as far as seeking God and putting him first, he said, remember from whence thou art fallen. And then he said to them to repent, to turn back to God once again. God said in Acts chapter 17, the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And we must return to the God of our fathers. I believe I'll preach Sunday the last message I may preach on when a nation returns to God. What happens when we return? It means we're just getting back and getting right. I mean, a lot of you this week have, this has been a good week. Amen?
Amen.
We've had a wonderful time and it's helped me. I've told the pastor the spirit of the church has been very, just refreshing to come and to just together to get preached to and have a time and these altars to be full. And folks were last night, a good number raised their hand for salvation. And I'm praying that some of the staff told me they're going to follow up and make sure they knew what they were doing and help them get through. That's what this is all about. And imagine what it would be if a church like Open Door, Westminster, Maryland, got so behind the call of God and what God wants for our life, got so behind their pastor and their leadership, and so we're going to reach this community for the Lord. We are going to glorify God. We're going to remember the Lord our God. We're going to remember how good he was that day we got saved. How many remember that? I look back, a lost young man in my dad's living room on a Sunday morning. I came back from a night of sin and came back in, and that night I decided I'm going to church with my parents and get saved. I came in early in the morning and they had already left. The coffee pot, the Mr. Coffee was still hot. They were gone. I missed them. I didn't know where their church was. And I paced their floor like a caged lion. I said, God, I don't know where to start. I don't even know where to begin. But I know I'm lost. And I know I need to get saved. God, please, I've read enough of those Oliver Green tracts. I listened to them talking down in the living room. I heard my mom pray at times. She would pray, oh, God, save my son. You know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She'd go through the plan of salvation in her prayer. And I heard enough of it to where on my knees alongside of my dad's easy chair, I said, I don't know where to begin. And by the grace of God, the Bible fell open to Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, And he said, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. I said, Lord, I don't even know how to do this, but I'm asking you, let me be your child. Lord, I believe you died for me. Please forgive me. And I invited him into my life. And that moment, a miracle happened for me. I was born again, right alongside of my dad's reclining chair. You understand, that's really what we all need to do, is just get back to the old place where we got saved. Amen. Get back to Bethel. Amen to that? Get back to say, I'm going back to that original spring where I took the first drink of the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, I'm going to put him back in my forefront.
Amen.
Of my thinking, my life. And I'm going to not only remember him, I'm going to follow him and walk with him and glorify Christ for the rest of my days. Let's bow our heads, please, and our hearts together for prayer. Just a few questions. How many of you know tonight that the cares of this world and this life in which we live, and the tug and pull of this world is so great that it distracts us? It keeps us from seeking God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Could I see your hands? Amusement, the TV, legitimate chores, things that need to be done, maintaining the house, taking care of the vehicles and other things, life, our work, our employment, all of it. But how many of you would say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all these other things be added unto me. Could I see your hands, please, tonight? I'm going to put him first. There may be some who'd say, please pray for me. I've forgotten the Lord in some of the areas of my life. I've slipped. And I want God to have his way. I want him to forgive me and restore me. Bring me back to fellowship with himself. Could I see your hands? Some are raising their hands already. A good number. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Others here would say, pray for me. I'm not sure I've ever been saved, but I want to trust Christ and follow him. I want him to be my Savior and my God and put him first in my life forever. Could I see your hands, please? Anybody like that? Never been saved, but you'd like to settle it tonight before this night is through. Balcony, main floor. Before tonight is through, you want to settle it forever. I want Christ to be my Savior. Let's all stand together, please. There's some here that God has worked in your life and you're so thankful for it, but you just like to be used to pray for America, to pray for this generation. Nobody's looking. How many believe that Jesus is coming soon? We heard wonderful songs on that tonight. He really is coming. It's going to happen. And I can't wait till Sunday to preach about that. But he's going to come. And when he comes, how many would say, I want him to find me ready and waiting for his appearing. Could I see your hand around the room? And you want to be praying for others at the same time. Let's just take a moment. I know the hour's gotten away.